Cedric Muhammad.
For all Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Sutrece, everybody out there that represents something. So put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we could talk peace.
That was the request North Carolina Latin Kings leader Jorge Cornell made during a news conference Monday. He wants gang leaders to get together for a discussion on how to end violence.
What I'm asking these leaders to do is, if you got one that's going to start trouble with the other, don't let those two, you know, let it get physical. And if it does, don't let it cause a war. Let's bring it to the attention of those leaders and let those leaders deal with their own.
Cornell was joined by church leaders, Pastor Nelson Johnson and Gregory Heaton, who gave their full support to the cause.
And so I want to commend Brother Jorge and the Latino Nation and all of those who have responded in the hope that this is merely a beginning and that together we can do a new thing.
Cornell says that he's already getting a good response from other gang leaders and hopes that today's message will encourage even more to come together.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, that we get some more responses and the more people that will come to the table and some of these gangs and nations and associations, still, you know, more, the bigger the better. That's where we go from here. The next step is to sit down.
And Heaton says they will open their doors so that next step can be taken.
I want them to know that there will be places where they can gather and meet. We believe that that's the way to go.
In Greensboro, Kira Mathis, News 14, Carolina.
The home of the business and building movement, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we could talk peace.
September 30th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Okay, listen, I had to actually calm myself down. This subject, I get a little, I guess, raw. I just get a little raw when I see BS. My BS detector goes up when it comes to community development. Urban renewal, youth issues, the whole nine. I'll let you look at me. You can't see the fire in my eyes because I have sunglasses on. I will take them off. Hour number five. One of my friends, a viewer in Africa, she wants to see my eyes, so I will turn them, put the glasses up a little bit. Now listen, we've talked about this subject at great length on my show. So many of you know how I feel, okay? I have utter disdain for the trend in the black poor community, Latino otherwise, where we have to talk about every single issue, not in terms of the real essence of it at a community, street, grassroots, indigenous level. We had to talk about it in terms of politics, Democrat, Republican, government, budgets. I wrote something about 8 years ago that I want to get into, but I'm going to use a clip from Brick City to explain why I'm so sick and tired of us acting as if we need the government, a corporation, or some type of philanthropist to make us preserve ourselves. I don't mind help from government. I don't mind help from corporations. I don't mind help from philanthropy. But one of the reasons why I wrote my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret, which will be out next week, in volume one, it's three volumes. In volume one, I have a chapter on an enlightened self-interest. When you know who you are, nobody has to come and really help you to find yourself. You naturally pursue an interest. So when I see people in street organizations who are doing the work of giving people identity or connecting them with themselves, and I see them spit on or disrespected or isolated, it makes me sick. When I see the same thing happening in the spiritual community, particularly with the Muslim community, building people's self-esteem up, giving them work, cleaning up people that nobody else is cleaning up, and I see them isolated because some of you want to participate in a mainstream bougie type of reality, it makes me sick. When I see some of you all talk about investment in foreign investment development in the hood, in the inner city, and you go and you talk to foreign corporations, but you won't deal with Muammar Gaddafi or Chavez or Castro, you make me sick. Because you're showing me that you're not free and independent and honest enough about what's going on with our young people, what's going on in our economy, what's going on in our day-to-day reality, to do what a man and a woman would do if they were just being themselves. So let me play clips from Brick City. And for the record, I thought that the production, the cinematography was excellent. I thought that the way that they shot it, almost like a rap video in some respects, was powerful. I have a couple complaints with the production, which I'll get into. But let's play a clip. We're going to spend a whole hour on this at least. Send in your comments if you saw it. I don't care if you agree. You don't have to agree with me at all. As a matter of fact, if you don't agree with me, I would actually probably prefer to hear from you. Because I don't want a bunch of people parroting what I'm saying either. We just need to have an honest conversation and get to work. This is a portion of Brick City where the budget is an issue. And it's affecting the police department. Here we go.
2009 operating budget. I'm going to pass around the targets. Don't squeal.
No sacred cows in 2009. I thought she was going to lipstick on tigers.
The biggest challenge that we're going to face is pulling back on our reliance on special municipal aid. The targets that we've set for 2009 are extremely aggressive. And I know that you're all going to complain about them. As aggressive as they are, they still don't take us off the aid program. So we did a 15% across the board cut. Every department, no sacred cows. We don't want to make choices that could impact essential services. But, for instance, Maria, I could probably tell you where you could cut about $500,000 off of Parks and Rec. And I think that we've already given $4 million back, took a big hit last year, and we should really be kept whole this year. Nobody took the kind of hit we took. I think it's very unfair.
It's unfair for everybody. And it's terrible to be in a special municipal aid program, but if we're ever going to get out, then everybody's going to have to tighten the belt.
Guys, listen. This has been bullshit that's been going on in the city of Newark for the last 10, 20 years that have put us in a position that gives us an untenable reality. And now we walk in the last 2 years and are asked to do the impossible. And you have a mayor standing up, screaming and yelling, we're going to do more, we're going to do more. And you guys are turning to you rightfully and say, you're asking us to do more with less people, with less money, with less resources. You want us to create your mission, mayor, of a transformative government, set the national example for urban transformation. So you're damn right. This really, really sucks. My stomach's churning. This is not what we signed up for. But damn it, we're in the middle of the arena now. We're in the ring. And it's our challenge and our change. And I feel such sympathy and compassion for everybody in this room. So I don't know how you cut it. You're through the flesh, you're through the fat, you're down to the bone and marrow, but we still got to cut. I know we can get to the point where we all stand back and look at pride with what we've accomplished. We have to make up for the mistakes of the past. The tough work is about to begin. The sacrifice is about to begin.
We're still $40 million short.
From getting off the special municipal aid.
Right.
God bless America. So is there anybody we can go deeper on?
No.
The 15? I still feel like I have a relationship with your Scotty on Star Trek. You know, I can't do it, Captain. It's going to take us 10 days. I need an hour.
It's going to be even more next year, but we'll figure that out.
And police, where are you right now?
I'm not telling him where to cut. Okay. I'm just telling him to cut. Okay. Now, if he can't figure out where to cut, God bless him.
You're about to cry. So Michelle just gave us our budgets, and ours cuts like $20 million out of it. So I'm going to give you this entire thing. Sit down and distill for me. It's got to cut into salaries, which means hiring. $23 million. Take that out of petty cash.
Yeah, right. Big check. We only have about a 4 or 5% play in the total budget because 95 to 96% of the budget's salary, you know, and benefits.
What's up, Sam? What's going on? Just got my 2009 budget.
We're broke.
What do you do? You got to take everybody pay cuts?
I think it's 96%.
Yeah. We got 4% we got to play with. Unless we take over the hot dog vending trucks outside.
I don't know how to expect us to function with this financial environment.
Okay, let me give you my little 2 cents on this now, real quick, because I want to go through more clips. When are the inner city populations going to just say, look, give us some of that police budget? Instead of waiting for the police budget to go broke, instead of allowing the city governments to claim that they don't have any more money, why don't you just run up on the people who make decisions, city council members and mayors, and say, look, we want a portion of the police budget, because we, if you would just give us some resources, we, through our own patrols, training, self-defense, could clean up the neighborhood and just hand people over to you for arrests. You come in here, you profile, you beat us up, you don't know the people, because half the police department don't even live in the city. Give us that money. Like, when is somebody gonna be a man or a woman enough in Newark or in Camden or in Chicago or in Philadelphia or in Houston and just say, we want some of that damn money? We know who the perpetrators are in the community, who the knuckleheads are. We don't want you killing them. Let us touch them up a little bit, and the worst offenders will hand over to you. Now, I wrote something 7 years ago. It was called Diallo, the Devaluation of Black Life and Police Privatization. Here's part of what I said. I said, black communities throughout this country could virtually eliminate racial profiling and police brutality by the community policing of their own neighborhoods. Black Christians, Muslims, and grassroots organizations, particularly their male members, but not excluding females, can voluntarily and for fees patrol their own neighborhoods and reduce crime. Their presence and love and respect for their communities can even persuade young black and Latino men and women to leave a life of crime behind. They also can serve as a buffer between police officers and youngsters in the community, and sadly, if need be, they can educate police officers on the nature, rhythm, and culture of the communities in which they work. Eventually, the police departments could, in effect, privatize their operations, delegating whole sections and communities to be policed by their own patrols. If it works in the case of public education, where charter schools and vouchers are concerned, why can't it work with police departments? As an example, we would trust the privatized police force, made up of members of the Nation of Islam, Black Baptist and Methodist churches, the NAACP, Urban League, Black NEA Force, and other organizations to police Newark, New Jersey. Now, I wrote this 7 years ago. We would trust them much more than we would the local police department. We are convinced that under such a regime, crime would go down and there would be virtually no loss of innocent life, and you would be spared the expense of failed quote-unquote sensitivity training programs. We would even, now listen to what I'm saying. Now, if somebody wants to refute this in concept, that's fine. But why doesn't this ever come up, what I'm about to say? We would even be willing to go on record that this privatized police force would do its work at less than half the budget that the Newark police force works with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just say, we're giving you the tax money, we're going to take 25% of it for 3 years and see if crime drops or not. All right, let me keep going with Brick City. I got another clip. And you talk about employing people, the same people that you say can't get jobs, you could train them to patrol neighborhoods. Let me go to a clip on Jada, a young sister who's a blood. She's getting guidance on how to set up her organization. She's starting a nonprofit to do some good work with young ladies. By the way, I said this before. The real crisis is with the women. It's with the young girls, not just the boys. We talked about this before on the show. Everybody wants to cry for us brothers, the little boys. What about the little girls? If you're a father and you have a daughter, you feel me right now.
I want to jump in every aspect of helping. Whatever, like with tutoring, okay, mentoring, okay, life skills.
I think what's important is to find our niche. And you know what the niche is. You know it's these young women who are at a vulnerable point. So the question is, how do we make them stronger? Right. So that when they are faced by the pimp on the street or someone offers them drugs or...
We need to bring them together.
To bring them together.
What you're trying to do is kind of a surrogate family.
I think the tutoring and the education is like so serious to keep their minds on education and how important it is and how important it is to go to college.
What if we started something called 9 Strong Women? That number, it's just a title. I mean, it could be 25, it could be whatever, but what if we say 9 Strong Women?
Yeah. I can just tell them, like, I wanted you guys to, help me start
something.
Exactly.
It's going to be big. You're the pioneers.
And you're a really important piece of this.
Yeah. Then I need no more before you throw up. You want a fruit? That's even better for you.
Now, let me give you a clip of Jada speaking to young girls. This is what you need. You need young people speaking to other young people in language that they understand and with a heart of love. This is one of the things that I think I'm going to get into Jawi in a minute. But this is what has to happen. We need more of this. You don't need a bunch of old school people. When I say old school, I just mean elders in the community who have the right message, but they don't know the language. And then they're a few years removed from their time period in the same struggle, particularly young girls.
The program that I really wanted you guys to be a part of. It's called 9 Strong Women. It's not 9 of y'all yet. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ladies is going to have to do, y'all going to have to do something. You feel me? Like, you know how in gangs, to get brought home, you bang bang. You fight. Everybody know, that's what I did with Power Rule. But we got to switch it around because we're ladies. But I think that everybody should try to maintain, like, at least a B average. 3.5, that's grade point average, right? GPA, 3.5. And even if it's not possible, that's what I want us to strive for. Right? Okay. You got to be serious about this. You feel me? If I didn't think that you were going to be serious, I wouldn't ask you to come. You know, this is a responsibility that y'all taking, y'all accepting, if you want to accept the responsibility. Don't put your lives at risk just to have friends. It's not worth it.
That's Jada right there. Now, the point I'm making is there's a group of young people that need to be unleashed and empowered to speak to their own. You need to start giving them money. You need to start electing them to office. This is why I was supporting immediately the campaign for city council for King Jay, who was the head Inca of the Latin Kings in the state of North Carolina. That was a no-brainer for me. I mean, who better to run for political office than the person who's had their ins and outs with the criminal justice system, public education, family, dealt with every aspect of what doesn't work right and wants to turn their life around. I would vote for that person like that. Let me give you another powerful clip. This is, if I can find this, Vice Principal Warren at a Central High School talking to a group of boys. Check this out.
I didn't say talk. The talking just got you 50 push-ups. Jonathan, start reading.
The ignorant is a primary weapon of containment. A great man once said the best way to hide something from black people is to put it in a book.
Anybody else? Next. I didn't say talk. Just next person, go, son.
They would rather buy some new sneakers than invest in starting a business. Some even neglect their children to have the latest Tommy or FUBU.
You think it's funny, right? But guess what? The joke is on you, dog. People are laughing at you and you don't even do too stupid to see it. The joke is on you. The joke is on you, and while you're laughing, guess what? And you're playing around in the classroom, but those kids in Milburn have their faces in a book. You're too foolish to see that we're telling you this stuff because we love you, man. Some of you don't really know anything about real love, though. You never had any type of interaction with a real man before. Who here is being raised by a woman? That's the damn near the whole room. Raised by women. You have a relationship with your dad? Who does not have a relationship at all? How do you feel about it?
It hurts.
It hurts. Okay. How do you feel about it? You don't care anymore?
No.
It's a damn shame when young boys become immune to fatherly love. I respect your honesty because you know the reality is you didn't choose your fathers. Your mothers did. And it ain't your fault. Don't feel guilty about it. Those of you who don't have men in your lives, your father's strong male figures, man, listen. Mr. Baraka and Mr. Warren love you. Mr. Baraka and Mr. Warren are here for you. It takes a man to teach a boy how to become a man, and that's why we're here tonight. Who here does not know how to tie a tie? Raise your hands high. Guess what? That's why we have these damn ties here, because you're going to learn tonight.
All right, everybody, look up on the screen. If you got one, there's a book cover up there that I want to talk about before I get into the next clip. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know you're familiar with this person who has come on this show, who I've gotten to know and interact with on air, off air. Who I think typifies what I've been saying about the need for a new type of leader that deserves support, whether they ask for it or not, that needs to emerge among both females and males in this generation and the one that is coming up after them. So I'm speaking of Deshaun Jawi Morris. Take a look at the book, War of the Bloods in My Veins. I'll tell you how much I think of this book, how highly I think of it. There's only really, I would say, four books that I recommend to young people. When I say young, I mean teenagers. I know that there were books that influenced me. One of them was Man Child in the Promised Land by Claude Brown. Another one is, and this is for, to get your entrepreneurial spirit activated or spoken to at a young age, Confessions of an SOB by Al Newhart, founder of USA Today. The other book, which I just added to this list 3 years ago, is Objective Hate by Troy Star Terrain. Objective Hate by Star and Buck Wild. You all know him. And then now this fourth book, Jawi's book. Now, I'm not just talking theoretically. I've been in a room. I've actually been in a room. I don't want to go too far with this, but I've actually been in a room with Jawi and a young blood. Someone who was, you know, basically just getting into that gang life or that culture. I saw him talk to him. And it's a form of education, a form of empowerment, a sobering type of even warning that somebody like him can give that nobody else could give. Not a preacher, not a police officer, not a teacher. I'm telling you, there's a lost, quote unquote, lost group of young people. Because the reason that they're lost is because you won't let the right people talk to them. I set up a private meeting between Jawi and some other individuals in street organizations. I didn't have to ask twice. Jawi was there. So later, for all of the ideology, some of you want to go and pick and choose who's politically correct, who's never had any problems in their life. These are the kind of people you want to put in front of young people. But the people that our young people really need to hear from are individuals that understand exactly what a person is going through, who each day are striving to do better themselves, and who will not denounce or condemn what they have just grown out of, or what they have just evolved into a deeper understanding of. And I said this before, some people don't like this, but I'm sorry. I don't believe in quote-unquote gang prevention the way that it's taught. I don't believe that the problem is quote-unquote keeping people out of something. I believe more good can be done by people who are already in something, who want to make it more constructive or positive, make it live up to the principles that it already has within it. So let me give you a little bit of a feel for Jawi. If you've never heard him, never seen him, never read his book, did not hear him come on this program, this is audio from Brick City. And for whatever complaints and criticisms that I have for Brick City, which I'll share a couple of them later, the fact that people like Jawi are featured in it, to me, it makes it well worth the view. I'm glad that this was done. I'll make a point later about how it does not tell the whole story. But again, shouldn't the people of Newark tell their own story? Some of you want to be on camera so bad that you go to somebody outside of the community and then you get upset when the story ain't told right. Well, this is basically what I just said, is basically what the dilemma of all black people has been. Here's Jawi, featured in Brick City.
This is my hood right here, right? I done wrote a book, Water Blood's My Veins, right? Many people think that by writing that book that now I'm disconnected to my hood. I wrote that book for the hood. I wrote that book because guess what? Blood's not going nowhere. Gang members, gang sex, neighborhoods, turfs ain't going nowhere. As long as you got poverty, long as you got welfare, long as you got crack, long as you got projects and motherfuckers that can't get up, you're gonna gang members. I'm just trying to reconstruct the hood, man. I'm saying, I just feel like, man, we've been doing the same thing for so damn long and we ain't got nothing to show for it. Homies ain't got no jobs, no cars, no houses, no credit. So many homies got dreams and goals, aspirations, all of that, and they never get started. I'm saying, I try to get them on the path, on that right track. You wanna show them my family greet?
What?
My family handshake? Tell them what it mean.
My family, power,
love. That's our little get down right there. That's our little personal connection, you know what I mean? Okay, you got it. D-A-S-H-A-R-I-E. I love this daddy thing. I love being a father. I mean, it keeps me sane, man. Give me my sanity back. Four, one more. Five. Good job.
Good job.
I mean, I'm gonna keep fighting, man, so I can make life a lot better for me and my family and those that I love, my homies, because it could be done.
Want y'all undivided attention. We got a brother here named Jawi, a soldier, used to do his thing, bang or whatever, he's gonna talk to you. So whatever you gonna do, bro, there it is.
Like you said, my name's Jawi, you know what I'm saying? I'm 26 years old, right? And at y'all age where I was living, wasn't expected for you to make it past like your 18th birthday. I seen my best friend get a bullet put in his head, you feel me? And I'm the same age as y'all, 10 years old. It ain't stopped since then. Today somebody could be asking y'all to hold a pack for him, demanding that you hold this gun for him. We losing y'all. Y'all are really the next generation, and we losing y'all. So the one thing that I want to get across to y'all is this thing we talk about is like hope and dreams, man. It sound a little fishy, a little cheesy, but at the same time, it's real. Because that's really the only fighting chance that you got, because the longer you stay out there, it's a ticking time bomb on you.
Now, let me just ask a question. What are you supposed to do? If you have young people, they're not getting educated properly. There's no recreation. And the thing that kills me, and I saw this happen in Willingboro, where I grew up in the Thoroughboro, as I call it. You had people, parents, who would not want to pay any taxes. You had parents that did not want to pay for pools. They didn't want to pay for recreational activities. They just wanted their taxes lowered. So you have young people that don't grow up in any type of recreation, any type of sports, no after school activities. The public school system is a joke. You have hip hop culture that's actually raising young people in television. What is a young person supposed to do? What type of development are they supposed to have that will give them the discipline to always say no to a negative behavior when you don't have any stewarding institutions? The stewarding institutions are the schools, the recreational programs, anything outside of the family that's supposed to give order to the motion of the life force of a young person.